Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Good morning. My name is Hope Anderson. Our scripture reading today comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15, the baptism of Jesus. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news."
It's traditional to begin the season of Lent with the account of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. But I'm guessing if you're familiar with this story, that you're probably familiar with a different version of it. Matthew and Luke tell a much more detailed account of this story, sharing the conversation between Jesus and Satan and all of the nitty-gritty details about the temptations themselves. Mark, once again, is brief and to the point. In these handful of verses that Hope read for us today, we hear of Jesus' baptism, followed immediately by Jesus being driven into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days. And in its abbreviated form, we are perhaps more able to hear the clear echoes of the story of the people of Israel. Having come through the waters of the Red Sea, they found themselves in the desert, in the wilderness, where they struggled, not for 40 days, but for 40 years. And this passage, in its brevity and intensity, reflects both the deep blessings and the very real challenges that are a part of a life of faith. That was true for the people of Israel. That was true for Jesus. That's true for each one of us. And the words and images related to the blessing contained in this passage are priceless. We actually heard these same words last week in the account of the Transfiguration, and we hear them again today. Important words. Jesus, as he was baptized by John, saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove. Now, unlike the other Gospels, this isn't something that was witnessed by all who were gathered there that day. No, in Mark's gospel, it was Jesus alone who saw the Spirit and who then heard the voice saying, you are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased. It's this profound affirmation that in Mark comes to Jesus alone, words that confirmed Jesus' identity, words that offered this foundational encouragement and reassurance. You are mine. You are loved, now, always. And then everything shifts rather abruptly. The scripture tells us that that same Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. Matthew and Luke, interestingly enough, both say that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The language is warm, supportive, almost gentle, I'd say. But led is not the word that's used here in Mark. The word used here has much greater force, more akin to being thrown or cast out into the wilderness, right on the heels of this wildly wonderful and warm affirmation. The Spirit then drove Jesus out into the wilderness where he would be tempted by Satan for 40 days. And while Mark gives us none of the details that are provided in Matthew and Luke, we are told simply that he was with wild beasts, sometimes thought to be associated with demons, and that he was also attended to by angels who waited upon him. As we stand at the very beginning of this season of Lent, I'd like to suggest that the season itself is one that contains similar elements for us, affirmations and blessings, as well as some challenges. And some, or maybe even all of us, might be thinking, hasn't this whole year been challenging enough? Do we really need a liturgical season that layers on a little bit more? I saw a Facebook post this week that kind of comically reflected that sentiment. It talked about how difficult it is to prepare for Lent as we've been in what feels like a perpetual Lent since the beginning of this pandemic. The post said, it's like we've been eating from a buffet with different flavors of Lent. Lent, green eggs in Lent. Advent, with some Lenten gravy. Christmas, with a side of riced Lent. Lent, Lent, Lent. The point being, every season has felt a little too much like Lent. Can we really tolerate another big serving of it? And while I struggle with that weariness, as I imagine many of us do, I believe that there is something important, meaningful for us to glean, to learn, to embrace in this season where Lent is indeed the featured course. To start with, it's worth remembering that we enter into this season with a deep and abiding reminder of our belovedness. You may or may not remember my pillars that I shared with you back in July, but that's one of them. I hold on to that notion strongly, that I am beloved, that you are beloved, that we are all beloved by God who created us. So the words of blessing and affirmation, you are my child, the beloved, may have been heard by Jesus alone in the Gospel of Mark, but they are ultimately intended for all of us. I'm reminded of the scripture passages that speak about us being heirs of God, adopted into the family of God. Along with Jesus, we are also called children of God. Along with Jesus, we are also called beloved. My friend and mentor, Reverend Orly White, died this past December of complications related to COVID. His memorial service was pre-recorded and then shared on YouTube this past weekend. And I learned from one of the speakers that Orly had been adopted. I didn't know that about him. She told of his parents visiting an orphanage in the 1930s in Kansas. The story went that they walked around and peered into all of the bassinets, into all of those tiny faces. And his mother then peered into Orly's bassinet, into his face, and she said, "This is the child I want." Well, the nurse apparently said, no, this isn't the child you want. This one is sickly and scrawny. How about one of these other children?" And Orly's mother said again, "This is the child I want." And that story of his adoption into a family that loved him wholeheartedly, unconditionally, shaped his life and ministry in profound ways. As we enter into Lent, we are reminded first and foremost that we are children who are wanted. We are children who are beloved wholeheartedly, unconditionally, by the God who chooses us again and again and again. And perhaps it's the knowledge of that belovedness that enables us to then lean into the challenges or wilderness aspects of Lent. And I want to be clear that Lent isn't about imposing another layer of challenge or creating new challenges to add to the ones that we already have. It's not an additional constructed wilderness for us to navigate. No, it's more about acknowledging and grappling with the wilderness that is, the wilderness that is within us and around us, but that we often distract ourselves from in a variety of different ways. I'm reminded that it's easy to carry some burdens, sometimes some very heavy burdens, for a long time and not look too closely at them. If Jesus himself had to be driven to the wilderness, how much harder it is for us to get ourselves there. Over these past months, many people have asked me what it's been like to be a newly assigned pastor at a church during this pandemic. And my short, quick answer is that it's okay as long as I don't think about it very much. And there's some truth in that. As long as I focus on the day-to-day needs and the tasks and the opportunities, I'm okay. But the larger truth is that it's been difficult for you, for me, for all of us, as we haven't been able to come alongside each other for worship, for groups, for fellowship, in homes, in hospital rooms, in all the ways we ordinarily would. That is just part of the wilderness that is. It has to do with the very real things that are going on around us, and it has to do with the things that are going on within us. And Lent invites us to stop working so hard to distract ourselves from the wilderness, but to acknowledge and sit with the grief and the struggle a bit. Because when we do, we will confront or perhaps be confronted by some wild beasts, but we will also encounter the attending angels that are there to protect and guide us. Blessing and challenge, challenge and blessing, both are components of a meaningful Lenten experience. We began our Lenten series this past week, a series that's called Spiritual Practices for the Wilderness. You've heard Adam sharing about how we will offer a spiritual practice each week, along with the invitation to try it on for size, see if it resonates, if it's meaningful for you. The first spiritual practice we're exploring is called the Examine, a practice that comes from Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits. It's a practice that essentially helps us to pay attention to our day and without judgment hold the light and the darkness of our experience and reality together. The practice invites us to reflect on questions like, for what moment am I most grateful today? For what moment am I least grateful? Or where did I give and receive the most love today? When did I give and receive the least love? The more traditional language is, where did I experience desolation today? Where did I experience consolation? And I had these questions in my mind as I was working on the sermon this week. I wondered how Jesus in the wilderness might have answered those questions. What did desolation look like for Jesus? How did Satan test him? Who and what were the wild beasts he encountered? And then how did Jesus experience consolation? I have to imagine in the attending angels the ones who were with him, the ones who came alongside him during a time when he likely felt very much isolated and alone. We are here at the beginning of this season called Lent, with affirmations and blessings, as well as challenges ahead of us. To say it's been a rough year is an understatement. And I don't think any of us should feel driven into a wilderness place if we are not able to go there. I don't think that would be God's intention for us at all this Lent. But I do think we're invited. Maybe the softer language of Luke and Matthew can prevail this Lent. If we want, if we are able, we might be led through this season in order to experience and embrace its challenges as well as its blessings. But one thing we can know for certain is that this wilderness, any wilderness, is not uncharted territory. We follow the one who has gone before us, the one who has known genuine struggle and true belovedness, the one who has encountered the wild beasts and leaned on the attending angels. There are holy footprints we can follow, trusting that the Spirit will be the one to guide us, not around every challenge and struggle, but the one who will lovingly guide us through. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you join me in a time of prayer? Loving and gracious God, we enter this Lenten season and acknowledge that it is unlike any other we have ever encountered. Our year has been all too full of reminders of our fragility, our vulnerability, the brokenness within and around us. We are not altogether sure how to face this season that holds shadows and challenge and sorrow. So we enter into this Lent in the ways and with the tools we know. We enter this season with worship. We come together and remember so much for which we are grateful. We come together to draw nearer to one another, if not in body, then in spirit, trusting that this community, this fellowship of seekers and believers, is present, caring, faithful, and resilient, even as we gather in new and different ways. We come together to offer our praise to you, knowing that we have somehow been sustained through what at times has felt unsustainable. We also enter this season of Lent with prayer. We lift up again and again those who are struggling in body or spirit, those who are in need. We lift up friends and family members, those who are near and dear to us, as well as others, unknown to us but known by you, whose lives cry out for comfort, peace, healing, grace. As we make our way into this Lenten season in whatever way we are able, remind us of all the ways you love us, the ways you have chosen us, the ways you continue to choose us. Lead us through the wilderness, the desert sands of our lives, of our modern day, that we might go with you to places of restoration, peace, living water, abundant life. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.